The first Troubled Hubble show 9 years ago was played as Hella Goats, but then that band just became too fun to call Hella Goats, so here comes something way less fun. I got a driver's sidearm, I've got distribution, I've got people in a rut. They know I love them, but they don't know how much. It was an interesting angle to have been laying in when you say we're on the same page. When you say I should just be singing your praises, anxiously waiting on the next note you play me. That's crazy. Out of all that I've received, you gave me something that I never knew I needed. I never knew I was frozen until you turned on the heat to reveal oceans of honesty. Though not a drop of confidence, so busy treading just to keep my head above a sinking conscience. It was like I stopped having dreams, started having manifestations. No longer in a state where I can't wait, 'cause I made it. I went from having hope so low to having a surplus. I went from burning my days by to burning daylight with a purpose. Turning virtues into habits, into consciousness. And then I said goodnight for real for once, and it sounded just like this. Good night. Goodness gracious, good night. Good night. Good night. Goodness gracious, good night. Starting backwards. So here's an older song. I started writing it probably when I was 8 years old, when I found myself, I really enjoyed taking my fingers and pushing my eyes back into my head as far as they could go. I don't know why I did it at the time. I think I was probably bored and I liked to just alter what I was seeing and then wait until all the fractals and things turn into a clear. I've never been to the eye doctor, but I think I'm doing all right though. I think after some research, that the episodes of pushing your eyeballs into your head and staring into campfires and the sun, it can cause the back of your eyeball, your retina, to start to shred apart, and then the little chunks called retinal debris will start floating around on the back of your retina, and then they appear as black spots that just kind of float, called chronic floaters. So. So if you ever see a young one, be like, careful. You might write a really strange song about this. I see molecules. I see you. I see the way that matter scatters out and makes things move. I see the backs of my eyelids. never looked so beautiful. There are shapes in light with eyes so tight and swirling little pixels. It's a funny seeming fuzzy feeling to think about all that I'm seeing, all that is birds and fish, plants and apes and annelids, traffic, smoke and atmosphere. It's a one-way ticket out of here. It's a science you can trust. It's a molecule and it's here with us. Finally I'm right. Finally you're wrong. I've seen molecules all along. To be young and dumb and innocent, to fear your life and want to live, to sleep and wake naturally, to treat your brain the way it's supposed to be, one with nature. Two for tea, three's a crowd, not all for me. To walk the plank, to find the shark underwater, in the dark, in the air we breathe. It comes from trees. It's not carried by air or sky, but is the breeze. It's like chlorophyll, bits of rice with ice cold water, warmed up ice. Fish eat plankton, and plankton is molecules like food for fish. Finally, I'm right. Finally, you're wrong. I've seen molecules. Where all my people with chronic floaters throw their hands up. And try to grab the spots you see. I see molecules and I see you. I see friends in stars. I see faces in moons and I see molecules. I see light, I see colors and shapes in the middle of the night. And finally I'm right, and finally you're wrong. And finally I dance with confidence to songs that sing of hope and love and truth. When you are nothing, you're still something. Your molecule. Thanks very much. All right, I'll play a couple more songs. Thanks for listening. I thought it'd be the easiest time of my life to write a will because I have the least amount of stuff, so I just wanted to see what it would be like. And started off requesting to be cremated, and then that made me start wondering about all the surgical metal in my body and what would become of that. If I asked to have my ashes spread into a body of water, there would be splashes, and that would probably confuse the person assigned to that in the will. So then I decided to elaborate on it, and so before passing on, if I can think to do it, eat a couple springs and some quarters and a bike chain, and just kind of elaborate on it, and then leave this fancy will that I was about my robotic existence. Or the will could be, I could eat a bunch of parts that correspond and that include the surgical metal that I have. And so the will could actually just be a set of directions on how to assemble them after they're sifted out of. And in all this research, I discovered crematoriums that will recycle your metal, so you don't have to worry about it. They'll take your fillings and your pins and they'll just recycle it. So there's a new business of death metal out there, and it's it's totally for real. I'm not kidding. So anyways, I just started writing a letter to the person I was gonna. I'm confused about it probably as much as they will be too. Amy, you found me in the woods like you should. like they do in all those books you read but never learn. You just dream, you just dread, you just drown me out with the words and the worlds that swirl in your head. When my magazines burn, all the people they turn into monsters, but just for a second and then they're dead. And they'll leave the earth like me. Thanks for listening, and thanks again for allowing me to appear on your radar every now and then. This is nice. That's why I wore a tie. This song's about a dude, Carl Beekman. He worked in an office for 8 years on the 8th floor, and down outside of his building there was like an old Circuit City that had gone out of business, and a movie theater and a highway. And in the middle of all of that was a little retention pond that just got more and more polluted through the years. He'd go down there every day for 8 years and have lunch. And he would eat the same cheese sandwich and throw the same plastic bag into the swamp after he was done eating. And there were tires, and the top of the water was kind of rainbow colored with oil and popcorn grease and battery acid and highway debris. Anyways, one day he's down eating lunch and he notices this beautiful bird land in the center of the cesspool, and he draws a picture of it on his napkin. He's fascinated by its plumage, its white crest. And so he takes the picture back up into his office and looks it up online, tries to see if he can find out what type of bird it might be. And he discovered it was an endangered species. Somebody said it was one of the last white hens, but I don't know if that was true. But he looks it up online, finds out that it's endangered, thinks about that swamp and then goes to the government and applies for a federally protected wetland grant to protect this area for migratory birds. So after 2 years, he gets the money and quits his job, moves out of his apartment, goes down into the swamp, builds a little hut out of garbage. And he lives there for a year and a half. He helps clean it up, and it starts flourishing. All the animals start procreating, and plants are growing, and the water is beautiful. And then when all the new breed of animals started showing up, like all the little kids, they didn't quite know who this old guy was living in their swamp. And so all the parents were like, that's the guy that helped us clean this place up for you guys. And the little kids were just too busy texting or being mutt scrat babies. Anyways, he felt dejected and he left the swamp and he bought a duck, a land water vehicle. He brought it back to the swamp and he shot it up with a paintball gun and he threw a bunch of garbage into it. And he's still out on the run doing it. He's really hard to catch because he drives a duck. So the authorities get up to his, and he just takes to the nearest tributary. But you can look online. He's out there still doing it. Anyways. Is there a sign on the back of my head that says desensitized? Well, I'm sorry I said anything. You sang a song, you then learned to sing. You said that you missed the songs you sang before you learned anything. In a fishbowl on the beach, I know the salty water stings, but it's not hard to see that from a bowl the world's out of reach. I see my face in the lake at the end of this pier, and all of the fish seem to wonder what I'm doing here. When I hold my head under and hear them all scoff, I will then open up my mouth, let my mind jump off. And it said there's a sign at the end of this swamp. It said, destruct, it's done, it's just mud. No such dumb luck. Construct new huts, blind new kinds of ducks, then make them occupy new titles like they do on the Royal Isle. Well, they'll print up a phone book as thick as a Bible. I've seen this. You were baptized in a river. I was thrown off a bridge. And then I landed on a crab. You slept with seahorses. And then I started having seizures. You started having kids. You found your inner self. I found my inner fish. I forgot to say that during that year and a half in the swamp, he tried to bring a woman down in there to live with him. It's the love of his life. So, needless to say, she is currently under investigation. Mother car is a boat. It has a boat name. I was sure we both. But no, 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 no such conch, no pontoon, no one is listening to you. The sun does wonders to your brain, the way it burns right through. I'm swimming in a trough, I'm sure you've written me off by now. But just when I think that all is lost, I see you stepping in the water. To me, every edge of the lake is a 50-foot cliff. Once you are swimming with me, there's no way out of this. So let's just turn back into amphibians. Let's just tread until our legs give in and start over. Start over. Start over. Start over. Thanks, NPR.